What's wrong with you people? Don't you know when to quit? You folks are, you don't have any quitting sense. Turn to somebody and say, I don't have any quitting sense. I mean, what are y'all doing here? What are you doing watching this? You should have give up on us and give up on yourself. If you're at home by yourself or whoever you're with, turn to somebody even to say it out loud. I don't have any quitting sense. Hallelujah. Why don't you just lift those hands and just magnify Him. All we know is what's in front of us. What we've come through and what's in front of us is more than enough. We worship You, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Well, we're probably the most unconventional church that you'll ever see. We should have Mary up here holding baby Jesus in a nativity scene, and that's perfectly fine. We appreciate that as well. But let's just worship to something that where we're at in the place of the Spirit. Psalms chapter 3 said, though the enemy comes in, 10,000s will be camped around about us. We will not despair. I told Homer this morning, I said, you are on God, you are on the devil's 10 most wanted list. I never seen anybody go through so many things and still make it on the other side. And that's the same for you. You're going to go through everything and make it on the other side because we are destined to receive this outpouring. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me and worship through this song? I'm sorry, I know we should be singing Silent Night this morning, but we're called to something greater. Hallelujah. We thank You that because the baby is born, we have a general in heaven standing and receiving our praise this morning. So lift your hands and turn it up. Hallelujah.
On a shield for me, glory and the lifter of my head. If your head's down tonight, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, glory, the lifter of my head. One more time, because there's some of you that are facing some strong demonic influences. And I know the power of darkness seems to be camped at your doorstep. But tonight, Jesus Christ is the glory. He's the lifter up of your head. He never shoves your head down. He always comes and picks it up. He wipes off the scars, the battle scars off your face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reach out to Him right now. Many there be increased that trouble me these last days. Many are the demon spirits that rise up against me. That old accuser. Many there be which say of my soul. This is what the devil says to you. There is no help for you in God. But this is what we do. Precious Holy Ghost of God, sustain me. Listen to this. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of demons. Every evil spirit from hell may rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000. Sing it for Thou. me in my office. He said, this is the song that's going to take you through to the end time. He said, it makes no difference how many demons are encamped about you. He said, I'm going to be the glory and the lifter up of your head. So whenever my back's up against the wall, here's what I do. I cry to the Lord. And I know there's people listening to this tape right now. In the car, wherever you may be, just cry out to the Lord. The enemy's gonna fall. Sing it, lift your hands and sing it. Somebody. Oh,
Thou, O Lord,
I feel you, Jesus.
Shield,
you're lifting up our heads, God. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. He called. Hallelujah. Thou, O Lord.
Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me.
You're the glory and the lifter.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you'll be seated, we have something else we want you to participate in. And Robert, if you can get that ready. I want to say thanks to Marty and Gay Plamondon for double teaming on Wednesday night. Homer was in one of those fights, or else he'd have been up here. But he's won and was winning. And they did great. They double teamed it. Hallelujah. I like that. That was good strategy. I like sometimes two quarterbacks will win a game for you. And that's what we had. And so we appreciate that. They both did an awesome job. So thank you to both of them. Candy and I were away this past week. We went to see our grandson graduate from the United States Army. So we were there. We flew into Charlotte and drove down to Columbia and were there a few days. There was 2 days of where we were able to watch the activities. And the first day, I want you to, be part of what we do and to celebrate with us. And are you proud? Are you a proud grandpa? Well, absolutely so. That's why I'm up here talking. But I want you to see this short clip. Now, it's unprofessional. I was using my cell phone, and of course, there's a lot of noise in the background. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people there watching their cadets or their recruits graduate, family people. We were part of those thousands, it was just incredible. A couple of days, very cold, wonderful. To sit out in the cold weather under the awning and watch these soldiers. And this is what we saw, And Damien is coming across the field. You won't see Damien because there's, 1,256? Is that correct? 1,256 that graduated that day. But we're so proud of him, and I know that you're going to be proud of him as well as he goes and serves our country. He's with us for the next couple of weeks, and then he will be going to Oklahoma where he'll train for what they're going to be training him for. He's actually going to be operating and driving one of these missile-launching vehicles, and it's amazing. A year or so ago, he was trying to figure out what he wanted to do in life, and now he's going to be operating a multi-million-dollar piece of equipment for the U.S. government. So they'll be training him over in Oklahoma for the next several weeks, and we're glad to have him and his wife, Jenna, here with him today. And, of course, his Tia, or his aunt, which is really his mother, and I say that in all due respect to his natural mother, but no mother was ever any closer than Amber and Damien have been since he was born. And he was raised in our family as well. I mean, in our home, Candy and I. And so, Candy, that's the boy used to diaper all the time. So, hallelujah, he's here with us. But anyway. You guys got that ready? Do I need to turn off anything up here? Or can you zoom in and make sure people are watching? And we want you to see this and just give homage to, you know, all of our soldiers as well. So thank you.
For your children. Big from your left to right are Alpha Company. Led by First Sergeant Stockton. Bravo Company. Led by First Sergeant Wilson. Charlie Company. led by First Sergeant Slaypack. Delta Company.
Hallelujah. So, Damien graduated from Delta Company, and of course, that's the, you know, I thought I had it on. There we go. So, Damien graduated. Come up, Damien, you and Jenna, just to. Would you give them a great big round of applause? Amen. All right. Thank you so much. Why don't you greet each other while you're standing, and you can say hi to Damien and Jenna. So congratulate his graduation. Amen. Jesus, we want to welcome everyone that's here with us this morning. And we want to give you the opportunity in just a few moments when our kids are dismissed. And I'll say something about the kids being dismissed. One of our children church workers is away, and the other one is fighting illness this morning, so we do not have anyone in there. And so parents, if your child needs to go over, and that's fine. The service will be being played over there as well, I guess they can. And so if one of you parents have to go, please don't send an older sibling to watch. That doesn't work well. So hallelujah. So in other words, Delia, you can't send Corey over to watch Jordan, okay? It's just not going to work, because I know how Corey is. He'll be watching a pregame today or something. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your giving, and thank you for not forgetting your church and the place where you attend online or present tense, that you support. And I know this is Christmas, and we don't want to take away from anything that you need, nothing. But at the same time, thank you for being part of faithfulness. That's always so important, faithfulness. So thank you very much. And with that, if you have anything to bring, let's all stand once again. If you have something to bring this morning, that's wonderful. Children can be dismissed with their parent if you need to go over. And Candy will make sure the service is being played for you over there. So, amen. So, Marty, if you can give us something again to bring this down. And you can greet again a little bit if you'd like. And it's so good to see Robert here with us this morning, Matt's dad. It's wonderful. Amen. Amen. So if you have something, thank you for giving online. Take us in. Bring us in. We believe in you, not just in your existence, but also in that which you've commissioned us for. For it is a particular calling. And we will not relent. We will not quit. We will not forbade. But we will continue to press, and we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Good to see Natalie. She went away this week and passed last week and to a ladies' retreat. I can't wait to hear what good things happen. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. So, Robert, can you and Carl, are you in walking order? Man, that man's healed. Would you pass these out, please? This is a prophecy that the Lord, this is a document the Lord wants to give you to take home with you and for us to go over briefly. Well, I don't know about briefly. We'll see. And this is from 2 weeks ago, a prophecy that came forth. You'll be looking at a title entitled Distractions, Burnt Fields, and Dry Bones. Now, if you go to our website and go to the prophecy portion, you can find this. It's December the 3rd, and it is the most recent prophecy. I don't know if the Lord will give us another one before the close of the year. But if not, this will be the one that closes this year out. And it's well enough said by the Holy Spirit, of course. You know, I think about what Gary Carpenter says. You know, he says, you don't get to judge prophecies if it's a true prophecy. Not judge it as the one giving it. Now, you can judge it later once you hear it. And of course, once it's been ascribed out. But you just have to believe God, if you're the giver, that you're hearing. And I often will stand up here and contemplate. If it leaves me, it was just some really good thoughts. If I cannot help but to give it, then I give it, and I'm listening, and I'm hearing, and I'm hearing what you're hearing. And I'm saying, Lord, it has to be from you, because I haven't sat down and said, I got to make sure all this is doctrinally sound before I give it. If it is from the Lord, it will be doctrinally sound. And this is distractions, burnt fields, and dry bones. And we'll go over that in just a moment. Hallelujah. Before we do, I want to lift up an article that I found. I found this, and I found it in the Ark of the Covenant. Isn't that amazing? The Raiders of the Lost Ark. You ever watch that? You know, it's a trilogy, or maybe four. I don't know, but they're all Indiana Jones is always looking for looking for the Lost Ark of God. Well, I found it, and this is satire. You know, I'm not really. I'm just kidding. But I dug in there, and I found out. You know, what was in the Ark was the tablets of the Ten Commandments. What else? There was Aaron's rod that budded. There was the golden pot that had the manna in it. And I dug down deep, and I found at the base of the bottom floor of the ark, a calendar. A calendar. Isn't that amazing? A calendar was in the Ark of the Covenant. It was amazing. And I thought, God, why is a calendar? Because a calendar is not really, you wouldn't think it as an article of holiness. But it's not, the Lord said, it's not an article itself of holiness, but it's what it produces. And what it produces is a intent and a determination, a self-intended determination to be written down and ascribed to concerning, get this, a week before Christmas, fasting for January. Hallelujah. And this is obviously, I'm just kind of being a little facetious, but this one's real cheap. This is an at a glance. You can get I've got numerous calendars. I've got a desktop. I use my phone a lot. And of course, all of you probably use your calendar in your phone. But I like something like this. They're cheap to get. $10, $15 at the most. But what I found out, and this is the teaching part, that this path into God, I found this out, and I'm still learning from 25, 30 years now. God really has very little to do with how close you get to Him. He really does. It's an all, come all on His perspective. But however far you go into God, however close you'll get to Him in 2024, or whatever you attain in the fruits of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit or anything that the Holy Spirit wants to endow, really has very little, if almost nothing, to do with His intent. It always goes back to your intent. What you intend to do. And intent is great, but intent will be absolutely lost if it's just intent. If I just intend to do something, well, when do you intend to do something? I know when Candy and I really get ready to go on a trip. I know when it's going to pass my mind, when I'm going to travel to another state. And we travel, you know, a few times a year at least. And I know when the intent goes from my mind to a real now it's going to happen is when I go online and I book with the airline and I give them a credit card and they charge that credit card lots of money, I know then it's a calendar date. It's a date. Candy and I will be on that date standing at the ticket counter showing our IDs and walking through there. It's done now because the money's spent and it's going to take place. And that may be several months in advance. Here's the thing. You can say, well, I want to go into God. This morning is not about fasting and, you know, I'm going to save you the trouble of a week before Christmas of not teaching that message. We got a lot of messages at our website. We got series on fasting. I can recommend going to Pastor Dave Roberson's website. That's where I, you know, cut my teeth on fasting, if I can say it that way. And it always helps to begin to listen once again to some of those old fasting series. But here's the thing. Unless you're a seasoned, I mean, you're really seasoned faster, unless you go to your calendar, look it up, and here's an incredible discipline to write those dates down. Well, I'm going to, Pastor, I'm just going to, I'm sorry, ma'am, sir, intent, you'll blow past January, you'll blow past February. And it won't be that you didn't really mean it. It will be that you didn't make an appointment. But once you write it down and say, I'm going to block out these days, or maybe that's too much for some of you, I'm going to block out this day, some whatever, or this day on each week, it probably and most likely won't get done. So whether you get one of these or whether you do it in your phone or whether you, but I'm telling you, coming up shortly, you need to be thinking very critically about going into some fasting days. And again, this is without any teaching, but those of you that have been around here for a good while understand the importance of fasting. I will tell you this, and I'll reiterate it again. We will not have this outpouring to you that are watching or to me standing here. The outpouring will not take place without fasters bringing it to pass. This may sound like a stumbling block and a contradiction. Praying in tongues alone will not bring it. Alone. The Word of God alone will not do it, because the Word of God tells you and teaches us that we have to crucify this flesh. So enough said on that, but get a calendar, write it down, make your intent a purposeful moment in time. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Does everyone have one of these? Okay. And does everyone out there have one of these? I hope. If not, please give a listen. We're at a season in our church. And I'm not talking about a Christmas season. I love seasons. I enjoy seasons like everybody else. But seasons, as far as natural, mean very little to me as far as the barometer and the spirit and where things are taking place and what needs to be said and what needs to be done. So over the last few weeks, he's been directing my attention to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I believe we'll be back there again this morning. But before we get there, I want to direct our attention, and I'm going to read this for us and then comment, because I believe that it has something to do prophetically. Well, it was prophetic, but even to all of us who are watching and listening to the season of our life going forward concerning this walk for revival, distractions, burnt fields, and dry bones. For the fear that I'll silence in your life is every distraction sent by the enemy in these last days to detour the army from becoming everything that I've called you to be, says the Spirit of the Lord. The main thing that we want you to see this morning, and I believe is, I'm speaking for the Holy Spirit here, is the issue of distraction. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll talk about distraction. In fact, I'll tell you this in advance, that the word in the Greek for the word care that we'll look at again in 1 Peter chapter 5 is the word distraction. It is the first meaning of the word care is the implication of being distracted. You can look that up in the Strong's, and I don't have the number for you, but I can promise it'll say this word implies or spells out being distracted, the word care. It also carries with it the meaning of division of attention. In other words, your attention is divided. It's the opposite, you might say, of laser focus. It's the opposite of having a fulcrum in front of you and saying that is where we're headed. That's what our cause is. And the enemy has, he squelched multiple moves like ours. And ours isn't the, our church is the only one. Thank God we've got churches. Amen. And we've got people that are carrying this torch with us. But I want to say this. He has, the our enemy, which is not you and I'm not your enemy, has for millennials, for many, many decades, has squelched people going forward by diverting their attention through distractions. And the first thing the Holy Spirit says here is that he wants to get a group of people that no matter what the enemy sins will not be distracted, but refuse, he says. Refuse the distraction. Refuse it from its onset. Stand fast in that which I've declared you to be, looking unto me, the author and finisher of your salvation, says the Spirit of grace. For in this hour they'll continue to be, as there has been, great separation from those going in and those standing apart, aloof from the rest of the body. Do not despair, because the further you go, the more of an asset you'll be in the days ahead for those who stand in the perimeters of this outpouring. Let me say this. Can I define more? The definition of distractions, a lot of times we'll put that in a category of different events taking place or schedules or different things that take your attention, as in you needing to be there or you needing to go there. That, and those are distractions. They can be. But I want you to broaden your thought processes and understand that distractions are far more than that. It's also the attacks. It's the physical attacks. It's the enemy's betting that if he can throw enough at you physically, you will not, you'll give in, you'll trade part of your prayer closet for the fight that you just feel like. And I said this morning, and I believe it's apropos, you people don't have any quitting sense. And that's what you got to have for a revival. Offenses. He will throw offenses at you. He'll question. He'll see if he can get you to start questioning the motives of other people and where they're at in their heart. And, you know, are they really what you thought they were? Or, you know, everything possible that he possibly can. Financial battles. All kinds of difficulties. And so he does this for the purpose, and you've got, it's not like you don't address those things, but his issue with us is this: if that becomes our attention, if that becomes our focus, then he's won the battle. But this is where the Holy Spirit is saying he's taking a group of people that will go far enough in, And he tells us here that there's never been a time where, and we've heard this prophecy somewhat before, that there's a great division coming. Not a fighting division, but just a division where you're going to see those who are really excelling because they're doing something behind the scenes, which is their prayer life, which is their, excuse me, fasting from time to time, which is their intimacy. They will excel, while others who appreciate the message will only go to a certain level. But he's asked us that whoever you are and whoever you are out there, that if you have that kind of love for God, that you will go forward and say, I won't get distracted by those who are not coming. You know, a lot of times people will say, I'm discouraged by those that are not around me that are going forward. Don't let that discourage you from going forward. You go forward, and then you bring up everybody in your wake coming forward. You're supposed to be the ones going forward and helping others. For the hour will come in which the anointing that brings in the harvest will also return many from scattered places. For I desire that the burnt over fields that religion caused separation, distraction, and distractions, and the disorientation of the truth be redeemed. Many were separated because of the weakness they saw. They themselves could not continue. And because man would not teach this truth that you're learning now, many became offended in the burnt over fields of religion. But know this, that I say unto you, as I said unto the prophet, these dry bones will live, says the Spirit of grace. Amen. So if we were to go there, and I don't hear him saying for us to go there, although I had it marked, that's Ezekiel 37. And then those, if you'll read that, I think it's through verse 11 or something like that. You see the prophet going, and the Lord asks him, he takes him into a vision. He's standing, and I believe it's a prophetic vision for us. He sees himself, he's set down in a valley, and the valley is of nothing but, it's not even corpse. It's dry bones. It's just skeletons laying there that are totally dried out, bleached out. And the Lord asks him, can these bones live? And he, really, Ezekiel says something very, it was very intelligent for him to say, Lord, only you know, you know. And the Lord began to say to him, prophesy and speak life to these dry bones. And as he did, there was a process that took place. Breath began to, life, the skin, the sinew, the muscle, everything began to appear on this valley of dry bones, all these then they actually became corpses. You could see that they were actually human beings. And then he said, prophesy to the wind. He prophesied to the wind and breath came into them and they stood up as an army. They stood up. Now that's a quick rendition of those verses, but the Bible says this is the army of the Lord. And what does it mean, Pastor, when the Holy Spirit says burn over fields? I don't understand burn over fields. Burn over fields, he's trying to describe something that when somebody initially comes into the kingdom and they're excited about the message. Now, I'm going to take this another step further and talk about our path. But in general speaking, it's those Christians that came in to Christendom, born again by the thousands, and then lost hope in the truth that they had found because they stayed and found out that what they initially fell in love with was Christ, but then a mentor or a pastor or teachers or a church was set in front of them to take them then into the next level, but they found to their dismay a powerlessness, a lack of truth, a lack of many times integrity, in which it disoriented them. It causes them, they begin to burn out. They begin to say, this isn't what I thought it was. It's not what I thought it was. And so they left Christ, not necessarily all of them backsliding completely. For a bigger part, there are many churchless believers that are out there that are still not destroyed their new nature far enough that they're going to hell, but they're not involved in church. They're not involved in the kingdom going forward in somebody teaching them to fast and to pray and to lose their self to gain Christ's image. And so they're just sitting and living life and working, and they're good Joes and good, you know, Marys and moms or whatever. And they're not really doing a lot of people any harm, but they're not on fire for God. And the Lord is saying, not only are we going to harvest the world, but he wants us, here's our call. This is a wonderful call, is to have a light burning so bright in these last days that people will come in and say, aha, this is it. This is what we've been looking for. We got burnt over and we lost hope in the program only took us so far. But we lost hope. We walked out. We didn't intend not to come, stay on fire, but we found our place. And it wasn't that they located a church like this and said, you guys are the best. You guys are the, Pastor Bronx, the best preacher. I love him. Personality in these last days is not what we're after. We're after a move of God. Hallelujah. We're after the kingdom of God come in full demonstration and power. And I can tell you this, folks, listen, for the season we're in, now this is walk in love. Walk in love. Don't receive any offense. If it comes to the slightest itty bitty, little ant offenses, kill them right where they stand. Stop them right. Don't eat breakfast with them. Don't have lunch with them. Don't. And I'm not talking about people. I'm just talking about the imagery. Don't go to supper with them. Don't lie down. Don't shower with them. Don't go to the commode with them. Don't do anything with them. Get rid of them immediately. In Jesus' name, we win. You win whatever you're going through if you don't stand in the offense. Do you understand? Amen. And I believe you do. You can't win a battle against finances standing. It's amazing. You know this, and I've taught it often, because James tells us it's just impossible for bitter and sweet to come from the same well, or you can't harvest certain things from thistles, and you can't, good vines don't produce bad stuff. And our faith is not an isolated. You can't isolate prayer petitions, faith, answers to prayer. It cannot be isolated. And I'll explain. In other words, you can't have an offense over here where you're really offended enough that you walk away and be offended and hold something there and then turn and fight a battle in the spirit for your body to be healed. It don't work that way. You can't say, well, that's just an isolated little, I'll cubbyhole that. I'll put that over, I'll lock the key on that. I know that's a struggle of mine, and I have a problem with that person. I'm still upset with them, mad with them. But then I'm going to go in here and fight for my finances. That well's all one. It's one well. And what happens is any pollutants will affect everything in the well. It affects everything. Just one drop of arsenic or strychnine got 10, you know, a 55-gallon drum here of water, and I'm going to put an eyedropper or a couple drops of water, you know, of strychnine. Who wants to drink from it? No. That'll either kill you, or a couple drops might kill you, or it's going to make you extremely sick. Extremely sick. So you can't, and I don't want to belabor this, but I want to hear from him. You can't have this offense over here and then walk over here and go to another room in your spiritual house and claim the promises that by his stripes I'm healed. That pollutant over there comes right in here. Because faith worketh by love. Thank you. And without confidence, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have faith. Well, I'm not condemned about that I don't like that person. Oh, yeah, you are. If you're born again, your spirit's not happy about you being upset. For I'll send a great wind of my spirit in these last days, and I'll breathe on that which is dry, and that which seems to be dead and marrow will come to the bones and sinew to the flesh, to the bones in the spirit, and every joint will be fashioned to another, in which I'll breathe the breath of life and cause that which was once separated and burn over through a loss of that which a dream and a vision seemed to be taken from them. Now, here I'll stop and advance this a little bit. Okay, I talk generally about people who went to places. The Plamondons have an incredible testimony. You've got one too. We actually did and kept that on the face page of our website, Gay's vision that she had, and shared her testimony. It was an impromptu. It was really wonderful 15 years ago, but probably now, I don't know how long. But you've got a testimony too, what you were searching for before you came here. We haven't arrived. You know that. If you watch me long enough, you'll know that I haven't arrived. But we found something that is, that deep calleth to deep. And if you ever taste this wine, you just can't go back. You say, my God. I can't go back. I'll fight through every possible distraction, every offense that comes, every accusation. I know Pastor didn't mean that. I know Sister So-and-so didn't mean that. What if you find out later they did? You're still better off to believe the truth, because the truth says, don't take any offense. Just don't take any offense. And if we do, we win. But sometimes people get disoriented. And that's okay. I mean, it's not okay, because it's okay as far as we're concerned in love. But the ones that have even gone or left, here's a promise that through our prayers, through our walk, through our love, God will in days ahead make an attempt to reach into their lives and pull them back. Amen. And not everybody that leaves backslide and goes back in the bars. I'm not saying that. But at some point, things happen and you have to begin to believe something that's not true. And the enemy has to twist something. Well, in this harvest, it's not going to be just those from the outside. They'll once again be reunited in my spirit. For I'm calling you to go in, to go into a place where this outpouring is of truth, a now, a living reality. And in that, not only the harvest, but those who were originally meant to be part of the harvest, that I'll breathe upon them, and they will hear a sound as a rushing mighty wind once again, and be renewed by my spirit, says the Spirit of grace. But for you, here's our assignment, in this hour is to lay down every distraction and go in to birth this final push in the Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. I just believe 24, you know, it just, I can say this not because I'm being prophetic, but 24 is going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful in the Spirit. I don't know how many challenges in the natural is going to be there. I don't know who, I hope there's change in the natural in Washington, but I can tell you this, there's going to be change in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So turn with me for a little bit, since we exhorted that, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. And Merry Christmas to everybody. If I don't see you Wednesday night is a smaller crowd, and a lot of times people have a harder time getting here because of the driving distance. But we won't have church next Sunday because that's Christmas Eve. So this, I won't see you. Some of you, I won't see you for 2 weeks. But you better come back. And you better not pout. You better not pout because I'm telling you why. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know how you teach your children or whatever, and I'm not going to get into that. But I was telling Candy the other day, I know why some little kids are scared of Santa. And she goes, what? I said, yeah. You know, if you sing that song, he sees you when you're sleeping. I said, nobody likes to be watched while they're sleeping. I said, oh, that scared me. Somebody's standing over me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. And this is a season we're in. That's why I keep coming back to this. The elders which are among you, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, Peter said about himself, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now he said that to them then, and to us now, feed the flock. I'm expecting you elders and those of you, and we don't have any pronouncements around here, but many of you are growing into that place. Help me, please. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, in other words, because of the love of money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but in samples or examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, or yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Now, if there's anything that I'd say that is prophetic to us during this season, and getting past, you know, because a lot of you are getting stuff, I kind of isolated Homer, and said some, you know, didn't really go into detail, but man, I know the story on a lot of you in a good way, not because I've been snooping, you've been sharing and saying pray, and that's my privilege. It's just my privilege to keep confidential whatever you say, and it's nothing anybody's done anything bad, it's just some fights, I mean some real fights going on physically, spiritually, financially, just a lot of, this is... And it's a season. It's a real season. But I said one of the things that we walk through this season with and get on the other side of it, because I'm telling you, some devils are going to fall. They're going to fall. And we're going to, some breakthroughs are going to take place. And people are going to say, man, I felt like I was shot out of a cannon. So praise God. And so here's the prescription to doing that. One, walk in love. Two, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. In other words, don't stay away from pride. Dave used to say humbling yourself meant you were 1,000% teachable. In other words, okay, Holy Spirit, if you can teach me, Pastor, if I trust you, I believe, you know, you're a helper of my joy, not a lord over me, but a helper of my joy. Sometimes people think, you know, no, you're not supposed to correct or even preach a message on correction. And that's not the word of God. First, you know, the Ephesians 4:11 says that my call, pastor, you know, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, they were sent for the perfecting of the saints. In other words, they were sent to say, okay, listen to this and hear this. And if it corrects you, then it corrects you. And so that's part of it. But not humbling yourself is to say, no, I won't be corrected. I know, you know, if I'm corrected, the Holy Spirit will correct me. That's not, the Holy Spirit will correct you, but he will correct you privately. And he'll also, I don't know how many times, I can just tell you, I don't know how many times listening to some of our preachers that we listen to that I've been corrected. And I said, okay, I need to, you know, come up a little bit here. I need to tighten it up and change some things. And so if we're not in a place where we're continually saying, Lord, correct me if I'm wrong, change me, humbling myself means that. It means just humbling myself and hearing God's correction, casting all your care upon him. And I said this, that word care, I should have wrote down the reference in Strong's, but you can look it up. The word care is distractions, casting every distraction upon him. And that can be, as I said, many different things that are coming at you. For he careth for you. Be sober. And that in the Greek means not receiving much wine. Be vigilant. That is just vigilancy is staying at it, staying going forward, staying focused, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, who is he going to get to devour? He's going to get to devour those who have taken the care. And it became a, and that's, when we think of care, sometimes we think of somebody that's, you know, oh, they're under care. I can see their face. They're under depression or fear or anxiety. That might not be the case. Taking the care just simply means not, we equivocate care to an emotional low, but care may not be an emotional low. It may be just a major distraction. They may be seem like they're very happy about where they're going, but they have been distracted. And they're happy in their distraction, and they're going straight forward with it. They're not under like I'm depressed care. They're under a distraction care, and it's taking them outside of where they need to be. And the Holy Spirit saying that your defense against that is to humble yourself, stay teachable, stay in a place where you can be corrected. And all of us need to stay in that place where we can be corrected, where we can learn, where we can understand what the Holy Spirit is saying. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes, fewer than being most, far fewer. People leave upset. I like it when people don't leave upset. I don't like it when anybody leaves for any reason. I want you forever. I'm jealous, okay? And some people have and some people will in the future leave for all the right reasons. And I'm saying, man, Holy Spirit. But you know what? That's between him and them, and he'll use them, you know, people going forward. But sometimes people leave that are very upset. And when they are, they find that whatever has been a part of their life in this teaching, maybe they're offended at whatever. And sometimes they're offended at the pastor and whatever. And that's okay. That really is okay. I'm just saying this for teaching purposes. But the distraction comes and the care comes and takes people out. And we're believing for everyone to always be restored wherever they go in life. But here's the thing. On this path, if you're going to follow this path, you may get detoured for a little bit. And you may get distracted for a little bit. But if you follow this path, eventually you're going to have to reconcile everybody that you left behind. Do you understand? Because this is a path of love. And it's a path that all of us have to humble ourselves, starting, and if it doesn't start with the pastor, then we're sunk. We're sunk. If it doesn't start with the elders, we're sunk. If the elders or the pastor does not know how to love or humble himself, or you to humble yourself as leaders, then we have no foundation. But teachable, being teachable and humbling yourselves is probably the great, well, it is according to Peter, of not being able to be devoured by the distraction. In other words, I'm hearing, I may see imperfections in a human being, but I'm hearing what God says to the body or to myself, and I will be corrected. And that's vitally important, and it's vitally important for all of us going forward. Oftentimes, and it's not just this church, it's anybody that ever hears this message and temporarily walks away from it, oftentimes they find that they can do that and justifiably in their own hearts do that is because, how can I say this? They've received an epiphany. In other words, a revelation, I would say. They realize that for the first time in a long time, they've received a revelation that somebody, it may not be the pastor, but somebody is holding them back, or somebody was the fault of where they weren't at. It's like the guy that, is this all right? Are you okay? Okay. It's like the guy that's married to a lady for 30 years, a wife for 30 years, and all of a sudden he figures out, my problem. I figured it out. Why I've been held back and why I've got so many personal problems is I figured out that she is, she's the one. And then he gets an epiphany. If I leave her and divorce her, my life is going to be right. I don't know how I got mixed up with this woman. Not that woman. That's the greatest thing except for Christ that's ever happened to me. But they figure the epiphany is that they get, you know, they were holding me back. They messed me up. I don't know what. And then they get a new one. And there's a honeymoon for a little bit. Like, oh, I had so many personal problems. I had this problem, that problem. Finally, I got rid of my problem. Pastor Dave, he always had the greatest of one-liners. He would often say, the problem is this about that. Wherever you go, you're still there. Wherever you go, you're still there. And it's not long, a year, 2 years, the honeymoon's over, and she's got the same problems that the last one. What kind of luck is this? I finally got rid of her. And you know what? You'll pillar to post that all your life. Marty, I thought Marty was going to take all my message this morning when I heard him. He's talking about blaming others for your problem. Until you come to a place of humbling yourself and say, wait a minute, it's not her, it's not him. The reason why I'm offended is I'm offendable. Thank you. Thank you, Mavis. Why did I get offended? Is more important question than what offended me. what? Thank you, Jacoby. Some more concerned about why I could be provoked than what provoked me. I don't know why this is, you know. Then they go through three or four or five, you know, and that's not about, if you don't get under condemnation, if you've been through multiple marriages, you're on this path now. You're straight, okay? But it serves as an example. And a lot of people just go through life, and you know what it is? The main thing is pride. You can't consider that maybe you are as much of or more of the problem, and what hasn't changed inside of you makes you want to walk away. What's that, Homer? Usually more. Yeah. Whom resist? Hallelujah. There's anointing here this morning. Y'all are helping me too. Y'all are helping me. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hallelujah. I don't like, maybe this interrupt, misery loves company. But the thing about it, sometimes we don't need to get together and say too much. But sometimes it's like that, you know, the guys on Jaws when they were sitting in that cabin and he was showing him my scar, then my scar. And you see, and Justin, I can tell you this, and I am a confidential person. If you share something with me, the other guy across the aisle doesn't know about it unless you tell me that I can share it or whatever, or it's edifying to share. But I get a privilege. I get a privilege of knowing a lot, sometimes more than I want. But I can tell you, a lot of y'all are fighting. A lot of y'all. It ain't just one or two. So if that helps you to know other people are, that's kind of what Paul was saying here. Know this, that a lot of people are going through hell, and I'm not cussing, I'm just saying they're going through hell too. They're fighting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So maybe you'll have a code when you walk out today and you don't want to talk about the details, but just say, are you one of them that's going through, you know, you going through it? Yeah. Well, good. That makes me feel better. I thought I was the only one. Hallelujah. I thought I was the only one. No. You're in good company. Hallelujah. You're in good company. So he says, resist steadfast, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to make it to the other side. We're going to make it. Your bodies are going to be healed. They are healed. Your finances are going to come forward. You're going to get past these things, and we're going to stand in the power and the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to be kind to you and give you a Christmas gift of 20 minutes. Isn't that great? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. We love you, Candy, and I love you. We appreciate all of you that are watching. May the power of God rest over your life. In these days, may you be established, strengthened, settled by the Holy Spirit, and may all good things happen to you by the work and power of the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you and Merry Christmas.